Me and my wife have benefited from this congregation so much during my recent surgery, and I'm so appreciative to have a family like Tanner. If many of you are college football fans, then you know that what's coming up pretty soon is the NFL draft. And it's fun to watch the draft, to know that lives are going to be changed in an instant with just a phone call. And a lot of times, if you're watching the best of the best, they're going to be one of the first ones picked in the draft. I'd just like to share with you a story about a person that played in the NFL draft by the name of Bill Cowher. And if you don't know that name, he was a player, and then he later became a coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the early 1990s. He was a very good coach, and every year they went to the playoffs. And then in Super Bowl 30, he went on to be a very successful coach. And the reason he was so successful is because of his ability to focus on priorities. Tim Carruthers, a writer of the Sports Illustrated magazine, wrote an article about this coach, Bill Cowher. And I'd just like to read a quote from this article that he wrote about him. After almost every game and practice, Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh Steelers coach, drove straight home to his wife Kay and their three daughters. He doesn't do commercials for cars or frozen yogurt. He exists only in two passions, family and football, exclusive to everything else. And he was so focused that one day he was seated next to a woman at a civic luncheon, and he politely asked, "What is it that you do?" And the woman replied, "I am the mayor of Pittsburgh." He goes on to say it might be a good thing to know who the mayor is of your city. But it shows us an essential truth that a person cannot focus on everything. A person must have priorities. In doing so, he must let some things go. The more we focus today on the Lord, the less we're going to focus on things of this world. So tonight I'd like to ask ourselves a question, and after we study this text that we're going to read that we just sang a little while ago, I'm going to look at some challenges. But this question I want to ask is, what is really important to me? And that me is the individual. The text that we just sang from Matthew 6:33, a lot of us can quote it, we just sang it. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let's focus on the idea that the Christian has the responsibility to prioritize. Let's look at the word seek in this scripture. If you're going to define the word seek, it could be defined as to search after or to seek after, strive for something. And what is so important about that word seek is the syntax of that word. It's a present active verb. It's in the second person plural. You seek, everyone that reads it. And so it is continuous. Jesus is teaching us we have a responsibility and an obligation to prioritize, and it must be done continually. There are a number of ways or a number of things that the Bible teaches us what to seek after. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, we are taught that as a Christian, having been baptized, buried with Christ, in which you were also raised up with him and through faith. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, which Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. And every Christian who has been buried with Christ has made that decision at some point in their lives. They made a priority. We have newness of life. We are new creatures. We start all over. What we have decided is to keep seeking things that are above. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, we are also taught to seek after peace, that we are supposed to be a peaceful individual. That is something that we should strive for. We are also taught in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24 to seek the good in other people. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And using an analogy of a shepherd and a lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, Jesus was looking to seek and save the lost. We also need to be seekers and searchers for those that are lost. We also need to seek the church according to the scripture in Matthew 6:33. The church needs to be a priority in our lives. Notice the priority of the kingdom. It needs to be what? First. If you just look at the word first, it identifies an order. If you're asking yourselves, what does it mean to be first? Well, you can ask a NASCAR driver, what does it mean to be first when he crosses the finish line? Going 200 miles an hour, it's very difficult to be doing that at first. But you can see the importance of being first in order. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the context in that scripture is about giving. And Paul is praising the Macedonians for their giving because they gave beyond their ability. In verse 5, he said it's because they gave themselves first, or they gave of themselves first. Look at the priority that they gave themselves first. Another first in the Bible we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Honor widows who are widows indeed, speaking about the church. Indeed, but if there is any that have children or grandchildren, they must first learn how to practice piety in regard to their own family. One of our priorities is to be our families. So as we look at these scriptures and think about what it means to be first in our families, what a priority it is to be in our families, let's try to encourage our young parents. When we see a child being taken out of the auditorium, we look at that and we say to ourselves, what a tremendous family. Because we know it's a struggle to have to take care of a young child. And the parents may ask themselves, why did we even bother to come to church? Because we didn't get anything out of it. Oh, but you did. You made a tremendous influence on your children. You have shown them that you have a priority set. You have put your family first. And you can say to yourselves, it wasn't easy, it wasn't a lot of fun, and it wasn't convenient. But those of us without children, we can look, so we see, we can observe, and we see how a struggle it is, and we can just say, wow, what a tremendous family. We need to understand what it is, what it's really important in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. Notice the impact of the family, the extended family. You have a grandmother, and Jesus is a priority to her, passed down in the family. How many of us have been influenced by a grandmother? I know I have been. In my family, I wasn't raised in the church like many other people were. But the influence that a grandmother has can be passed down from one to the other, and they can see that Jesus is very important to them. It's a priority. Now let's look at some of the challenges of these priorities. First of all, we could just call it a distraction of life to our priorities. Worldliness. There's a song out now on the radio, and it's called What We Ain't Got. And it doesn't sound like proper English, but it has a very good point to it. We all want what we ain't got. Our favorite doors are always locked. On a higher hill with a taller top, we all want what we ain't got. We ain't happy where we are. There's greener grass in the neighbor's yard, a bigger house and a faster car. We ain't happy where we are. But we're reminded of Philippians 4 and verse 11, which tells us that we can be content with whatever circumstances that we are in. No matter what we want in this life, we need to learn how to be content with what we have in this life. It can be challenging, a struggle, you know, to our priorities. If you have a cell phone, like most of us do, then you have internet access. And the internet can be a challenge because it can be addictive. If you ever learn what an addiction is, if you're not chemically or, you know, any way influenced by drugs or alcohol or anything like that, then the internet is another way that you can be addicted. And it'll distract you. It'll keep you from doing anything else. Many people stay up all hours of night just on the internet. And there's just, you know, nothing else matters but that. It can be distracting. Another distraction or challenge is trying to impress people. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, we read, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." As we go on with this study in Matthew 6, let's look at two things that he tells us to focus on: the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. When Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do people say that I am, the Son of Man," in Matthew 16, Jesus said it is upon Peter's confession that he is the Son of God, that he's going to build his church. He uses church and kingdom to describe the same thing. The church is to be a priority in our lives. But why is the kingdom so important? A lot of people say, "Well, the church is not that important. Why do I need to attend church services?" Well, this is just, there's four reasons why the church is so important. When Jesus came to preach, what did he preach in Mark chapter 1? The kingdom. Not only that, Jesus built it in Matthew 16. Jesus paid for it. He purchased it in Ephesians chapter 5. So not only did he build it, he purchased it. And another reason why the kingdom is important, there's only one of them. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "The body is the church, and the church is the body." Ephesians chapter 4 says, "There's only one body." So the kingdom is to be first in our lives. But then, back to our lesson, that Jesus says to seek his righteousness. Well, what does that mean? Whatever God recognizes as righteous or right, whatever God expects us to do, that is what righteousness is. We read in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. For in it," what it? The gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. This book contains the things that are right and wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 speaks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And speaking of that, he says to flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. We need to seek and pursue righteousness. In seeking his righteousness, let's look at some challenges that keep us from seeking his righteousness. In Matthew 5 and verse 20, it says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does the Pharisee do? Well, we can read in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7 where they would take the word of God and they would make it less than their traditions. And what becomes binding is not what God says, but what man says. And so, if we want to follow what men say, that's what the Pharisee would do. And what we think and how we feel really doesn't compare to what God says to do. We need to seek and pursue what God wants. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Many of us have heard this scripture read over and over, but it's good to be reminded. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so if we read this book and its instruction in righteousness, it could be a challenge if we do not know this book, if we don't study it. That can be a challenge. A lack of knowledge for the Word of God can be a challenge. Now let's look at the promise that we have of doing these things. If we prioritize, as God tells us, all these things will be added to you. What things? Those necessities. What I'm going to eat, drink, and wear. God is going to take care of all that. We need to look into a mirror and observe our daily habits, observe our daily attitudes, and then ask ourselves a question. Looking at my activities, looking at my attitudes, what is really important to me? I can really say what is important, that it is important, but is it really? If you can see that you might need a change in your life, and you might need to just get in a closet and pray to God and ask for forgiveness, maybe that's what we need to do. If we are not seeking what God tells us to do, then we need to make some corrections in our lives. Are you a Christian tonight? Is your soul important to you? We need to make that a priority in our lives. And if you have done that, have you made it a priority to walk in the light as he is in the light? And if your answer is that you have veered off from the light, and I need to refocus back to God, if you need to respond publicly, the invitation is yours as we stand and sing.